Good evening, everybody. This is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night. You know, I have such a dull name for this. I started out because, what was I going to call it? Win Talks to the Elohim. I couldn't think of a name, and I like being kind of low-key, so that way people can discover what it is. But so we're still calling it our Monday night conference call with my co-host Terry Brown, who's not here yet, and it's a simulcast with a conference line and an internet. And when you hear those little dings, that means somebody's checking in to the conference line. So we're waiting to get our, we have three people tonight that are going to be participating besides myself. That's Terry, Carla Rucker, and Suzanne Hayes. And I'll take a moment, and Tina can just greet the people who just checked into the conference line. And I turn it back to you, Tina. Go ahead.
Sounds great, Wynn. Well, welcome to all who have just joined us. We have, I believe, three of you. This is the Monday night BBS Winfrey conference call. Would you like to state your name and location?
This is Sue from Pleasanton, California.
Welcome, Sue. And who else?
This is Dan in Tennessee.
Welcome, Dan, very much. Have you been on before?
Yes, I have.
You have, okay. And we have some other callers. Welcome to the Monday night BBS Winfrey conference call. Would you like to state your name and location?
Aloha, this is Lyra in Kauai.
Lyra?
Stephen
Floyd. Lyra in Kauai.
Welcome.
Hi, Lyra.
Thank you.
I've been thinking about you lately. What's going on?
Oh, wonderful things. We just moved the office from Maui to Kauai, and we're ready to rock and roll.
You better hurry up.
Well, I haven't talked to Carla since 1978. So I just saw your email. So mm-hmm. I thought I'd pick up the phone.
Well, I'll leave the lines open when Carla comes on so you can say hello to her, okay?
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
All right. Go ahead.
How are you? How is Sedona?
You know what? It's a waste of time for me answering how I am. But you can try.
Oh, why is that?
What difference does it make? I mean, I'm one way in the morning, one way in the afternoon, and one way in the evening. It's a transitory thing. You know, I am always in the middle of wherever I am. I can tell you that.
Oh,
for sure.
Well, at least that's an exact location.
Right, it doesn't change.
Very good,
Lyra. Yeah. I believe there was someone who came on with you. Would you like to announce yourself, please?
It's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Chris, yeah,
hello.
Great. Welcome to have.
Thank you.
This is Stephen Flagstaff.
Oh, and Stephen Flagstaff. I guess there were two callers. Welcome, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Now, is Terry on the line yet?
I have not heard her announce herself.
Terry lost her phone. She's busy looking for it. Now she's starting a new university called Lost Your Phone University. Yeah, it's going to be an auxiliary to the Unmute University.
I think we've all been there to at least a few classes.
Now, is Carla on the line yet?
I am.
I have not heard her check in either.
Mm-mm. I'm right here.
Wait a second. I think I heard her. Carla, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Oh, good.
But you're weak. I mean, your voice is weak.
My voice is weak. Well, I've got the microphone snugged right up to my voice, so this is about
you know what?
I can actually barely hear her at all.
You can barely hear. Jerry,
it sounds like she's in a tunnel far away.
You got your phone?
Yeah, I can't hear it all.
Okay. Well, you know what? Why don't I call Seth and tell him to turn Carla's audio off, okay? And Carla, can you hear us okay?
I hear you fine. I'm sorry that you can't hear me better.
Now you're getting better. It's getting better. Maybe Seth is listening in. Seth, are you turning up Carla's volume? Yeah, I think maybe Seth turned it up.
Well, thank you for the patience, everyone who's just checked in. We're having just a few moments with Wynn trying to get the call in. Carla Ruckert on. Welcome to the Monday night BBS Winfrey conference call. Would you like to state your name and location?
Hi, Lisa, San Francisco.
Welcome, Lisa. And who else?
This is Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne.
Welcome, Suzanne.
Let me see if Suzanne Hayes is on the line. Suzanne Hayes, are you on? Hello, Suzanne. No Suzanne Hayes yet. Okay.
Suzanne is not with us.
What'd you
say? We have another caller. I said we have another caller. Welcome to the Monday night BBS Winfrey conference call. Would you like to state your name and location?
This is Edna from Snohomish, Washington.
Good to have you, Edna. And we have another caller. Welcome to the BBS Monday night Winfrey conference call. Would you like to state your name and location?
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Oh, welcome, Terry. Wynn, Terry is with us.
I hear her over the phone, and I hear her in the other room.
I just thought, you know, maybe she didn't go to that university at all.
Now, wait a second. Don't say anything.
Hi, Matt from Dallas, Texas.
Hi there.
Welcome.
Now, just a moment. I'm going to take over for just a moment. Seth, are you listening? Is Suzanne Hayes there?
But Suzanne is not with us yet.
I spoke to her 3 minutes ago. And she was sitting. I told her to sit by the phone, and answer it. You know, she's in a rehabilitation home, and maybe some nurses came in and said, "We have to do this to you now," and she's got stuck. So, can you keep trying, Seth?
I will, but the number might be wrong.
Okay.
Why don't you ask him if he can turn my volume up, Wynn?
Oh, and turn Carla's volume up, okay?
Done and done.
Carla, say something now.
Okay, how's it sounding now?
Oh, that's much better. Hang on.
Oh, excellent.
Well, I sent Suzanne's number out anyway because I wanted people to call her and tell her jokes. So, are you listening, Seth?
Mm-hmm.
928-207-1463. Is that the number you have?
It is not, but
it's not. Oh, no wonder she's not answering. Carla, you would think that Ra could have bypassed it and gotten through anyway. Did you ever have something like that happen? Where you did something wrong and it came out right?
That's the way life is.
That's how I find out new things to do.
In fact, it's only the things that I do wrong that come out right. When I try to do anything right, it comes out wrong. It's like, you know what? Carla, there is a fan. Oh, you know what? I should start recording this. I can tell.
What a good idea.
Yeah. Well, they're recording it on BBS, but we do a double back. Okay, Tina, you can say hello to everyone while I figure out.
Okay. All right, thanks for everybody who's joined us, and there's been several. Thanks for your patience. We're trying to get some things going here. Welcome to the Monday night BBS Winfrey conference call. Would you like to state your name and location?
This is Suzanne, and I am in Sancho, Arizona. And I'm
welcome.
So happy to meet everybody. Especially you, Carla.
But don't say anything important. Don't say anything important.
I'm just outside of Louisville, Kentucky.
Listen.
And I'm
so
glad to be here.
Don't say anything until we start recording. Be quiet. Just don't go away. Hang on. Okay. Almost. Hang on.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Okay. This is Monday, January 30th, and this is our Monday night call. And we are honored to, actually, we're honored to have everyone who's on the call here. Really honored, because, you know, you guys that are regulars know that this call is a co-creation. It's not like, yes, you're listening to us, but you're also, us is you. So it's an energy that we co-create together. So when you're here and putting your energy and your love and your attention, it becomes part of the energy of the call. It radiates out to the universe. Mm. And tonight is a very special call because we have Carla Rucker with us. And Carla, somebody doesn't like you.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
We just turned off all the entry and exit times. Carla Rucker has been our regular guest once a month on Mondays. And really, if it wasn't for Carla, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I don't believe David Wilcock would be doing what he's doing, because she pioneered something in early 1980s, where a voice came through her. If you saw the email that I sent out today, I sent a picture of you with your, what do you call it? The little thing above your head when you were younger than you are now. And I also sent a current picture and a picture of the law of one. Well, this voice came through Carla, and she was working with a gentleman by the name of Don Elkins, and Don was a very smart PhD, and Carla was one of his students in, I guess it would be called a channeling class or connecting with extraterrestrial class, and Carla became his star pupil, when one day he asked a question and suddenly this voice came through and it said, "I am Ra." And Ra defined itself as a social memory complex that was made up of graduates of the physical universe, souls that had passed through and gotten to a place where they were in a higher dimension than physicality, and that they acted as a group to help beings that were still stuck in this realm, like you and I. And I hope I'm not stuck. I don't know. I don't think I'm stuck. But you never know until you're gone. Four books later of Ra channelings, where this group's soul explained who they were, how they operated, how to connect with them, their history on the planet, how they connected with the Egyptians and how they connected with probably even Atlantis and Jesus. And it was a historic and controversial release of information from the other side. And it's influenced many, 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 many people. Many people call it the most credible, precise channeling in history. And I had met Carla when we first started. I started researching the book on David Wilcock and studied her material, and it all connected. All the things connected in what I was working on. So Carla has been rehabilitating from a series of operations. I think they're called spinal fusions. And it's been serious, and she hasn't been able to join with us for the past months. And I was so pleased to get an email from her this morning or last night saying, "I think I'm ready." And I decided to invite Suzanne Hayes to be on the show with us because Suzanne is one of those people that was greatly influenced by the Ra material. And she and Carla have never met, but for, you know, she's run, what do you call them, blogs on the raw material. In our group, she's done discussion groups on the raw material. So, and Suzanne is also in her rehabilitation home, recovering from her own medical circumstance. And so I thought the topic tonight would be how to be a spiritual person and go through what would be a really difficult physical experience, like pain, like spinal fusion, like and Suzanne and Carla would be great to talk about that because they both have gone through that. And before we start, there was, Carla, you have one great fan here on the call in Hawaii who met you in 1988, and she wanted to say hello. Lyra, are you on the line?
I am on the line. Aloha, Carla.
Aloha.
Carla, I worked with you and Don with Andrea Puharich and Offning in 1977.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that something? I
was by another name then, which I will not share on an open phone call, but
uh-huh.
I'm so pleased to receive Wynn's email and to see you and to learn that you are pursuing a speedy recovery in
indeed.
And complete health. And I hope to connect with you at a later date.
Well, I hope you do. Wynn can share my address and so forth.
Wonderful.
Yeah, was that during, after, or before the time of the mind link? That was in
the
fall
before
of 77.
This is before the
was
first
before
time
the mind link.
That we did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, great.
Well,
by all means,
were the early days.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, great. I look forward to hearing from you.
You
terrific.
Bet.
That's great. Okay. And Suzanne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And, you know, I cut you guys off from introducing yourself to each other. I'm sorry, but I wanted to get this on tape. This is like a historic event. We don't admit anything. Did you happen to write anything today? You know, Suzanne, Carla and everybody, you know, two or three weeks ago, we had Suzanne on Monday, and we did the show with her. And she read some of her poems. And did you have anything prepared to read? And it's okay if you don't, but I just thought I'd check.
Yes, I don't have any set writings today, but I do have a lot of deep feeling. And I'm so honored to meet Carla and everyone here. And I just want to say, I did not remember until today that Carla had also shared a deep physical, what should we say? I don't really know how to call that. What's gone on in my life since October, but right around my birthday, something changed in my life and a whole new change came over me. I've not yet been able to sort it all out. I do know that everything I see has been seen now in the light of Ra. And I'm able to see things in a spiritual light. I'm able to not just myself, I've been able to see other people and realize what's going on in their life. And I know that Carla will come out of this just like I will. Better for having had the experience.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on the line who would like to say something to Carla before I mute everybody? I'm know you're thinking, should I say this, but I'm shy. Are you sure?
Welcome back. We've been, every time we call in the light, we've been adding your name. It's really good to have you back.
Oh, thank you.
That's
it is very good to be back.
You know, I think that one of the most poignant things about being spiritual is being human. And that, you know, when I was writing the message today about what we were going to do, I think that, and I'm probably included in this, learning how to receive, because when your body kicks out, you have to receive. If you don't receive, it's over. You have to allow people to help you. And I thought that there was something in the experience to learn that maybe if we learned how to do that, now maybe Carla already knows how to do this. Been an expert at it. I don't know. But learning how to do that before something kicks out in you where you have to do it. And there's a complexity to receiving if you're spiritual, because most people give with strings attached. So if you're coming from a high spiritual place, you don't want any strings. So how do you figure out how to receive and how to allow the receiving to happen without getting strings attached? Is it where you have to pick the right people, or you have to pick the correct response no matter what the other person's intent is? And do you have anything to say about that, Carla? Chris, I'm scared to turn
it
over.
I have a few things to say about that, Wynn.
I got to tell you, I'm always scared to turn it over to you. Do you know why?
Because there it goes, right?
Because now, whatever I say, I have to say at the beginning, because once you start talking, I say, okay, but that's okay.
It's so true.
Let's see, it's 7:22. We have to be off by 7:50, 10 to, that would be 10 to 10 your time. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Carla. And
all right.
Why don't you
thank you, sweetheart. I know you're quailing, but yeah. I will try my best to let you back in. I have a lot to say about the experience of receiving blessings from others as well as giving. I think the first thing that I would say about that is you have to realize that we're all one. So whether you think that you're on the giving end or the receiving end, it's actually all one transaction. The second thing I would say about that is that the hardest thing in the world for most service to others oriented people to do is to accept the love offerings of others. The more credit that other people give you for being high vibrational and spiritual and so forth, the more crushing it is to you that you know your own secret thoughts. You know you're an idiot. You know that you make 1,000 mistakes a day and that you are not worthy. And nobody really can convince you in any quantitative way that you're wrong, because you know what you're thinking and so forth. Our culture is very strong on crediting people for their outer work. Nobody ever comes up to you at a party and says, how do you be? They say, what do you do? And you say, well, I do this and blah, 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 and it's very easy. But if what you're doing at the moment is resting in bed while you are maintaining a vibration within your being that allows the love and the light of the one infinite creator to flow through you and out into the world. You're actually involved in being rather than doing. You are being that channel that allows the light through. And you even are giving it your color, the color of your personality, and the flashes and the glints of your imperfections. All of those are beautiful to the Creator. So all of these things are involved not in doing, but in being. And this culture does not credit or find worthy people that simply are. So when I was operated on in April of 2011, mind you, that's almost long enough ago that I could have had a child by now if I had gotten pregnant then, like 8 months ago. The operation itself went very well, but I came out of hospital with, count them, five different infections in the side of the wound. And I kept having to go back in and get scraped off and operation after operation. I think there were nine of them altogether. Trying to get rid of these infections. And nothing worked except something called a wound vac, which I'm on now. And with the wound vac, you're completely limited. You've got about 4 feet of play. It's enough to get from here to the potty. But other than that, you're stuck. It's a machine that keeps you from getting more infection and takes the infection away very slowly. And gradually, it's a wonderful thing. It closes the wound all by itself. So I'm on this, have been on it for months. I will probably be on it for another 6 months, something like that. The doctor won't say. Everybody's different. So I have been doing a lot of being. But the wonderful thing about that is that I've been doing it for long enough now that I'm absolutely positive that I am worthy, and we're all worthy, not because of what we do, but because of who we are, how we react to circumstances. We don't have to be worthy of anything. All we need to do is spend our time as best we can intending to match our vibratory level to the level of unconditional love. We spend time resting in the Creator's love, and there's plenty of time to do that when you're in bed. A lot of time for inner work. It's a real blessing if you think of it that way. You can count your blessings when you're not busy doing other things. It gives you so many chances for service to others, but they are not what people generally think of when they think of service to others. If somebody asks you, oh, well, you've heard of Carla, oh, yes, she's this channel, she teaches, etc. Well, hopefully, there are people in this world that are aware, and if they're not, it's okay, that the most important thing any of us does is be who we are, exactly, specifically, creatively, spontaneously, who we are, and allow the Creator's love and light to flow through us. Then, no matter how imperfect the intentions of people who want to serve you by taking care of you, you can see the beauty of that, and you can give thanks for that. And it doesn't matter if perhaps you get your feelings hurt or something of that kind, it's all right. Everything's all right. Because you're a strong person. You're not a weak person. You're not powerless. You have all the power in the world flowing through you. And your intention is everything. This is what it is to be a metaphysically oriented or a spiritually oriented person and to live what you believe. It's not so much what you do. It's how you do it. If all you're doing is doing things, you may not be expressing your being very much. That's why Wynn doesn't like to say how he is, because he's not very how. He just is. That's what he's trying to get across. He just doesn't have the words. I understand him perfectly. I guess the thing that struck me, you know, I had a book come out on December 6th, and it was really neat because I haven't been able to do channeling for a while, obviously. You don't do stuff like that on pain pills. You're not in the right zone, right? So you don't give, you don't give chances to the loyal opposition to get hold of you when you're not totally in a controlled channeling state. And so I have not done any channeling work. But work that I did in the 90s was found by North Atlantic Publishers, and it was co-channeling with a lady named Barbara Brodsky, who channels a wonderful master of the Buddhist persuasion named Aaron. And it's called the Aaron Kuo Dialogues. And what I've always said about this particular work is that when you pick up the Aaron Kuo Dialogue, within a couple of pages of starting to read it, you're going to hit something that is important that day. I mean, it's magical material. And believe it or not, what I read today in Morning Offering, I'm going to read to you now, and you'll just be amazed at how apt it is. This is from the Weekend One, page 32 on this Aaron Kuo Dialogue. And I asked Aaron, I've been working to learn to value being as opposed to doing. It's very important to me because my physical abilities are more and more limited. Do you have suggestions on how I can best proceed in this line of seeking? And Aaron says, in being, you are doing. He goes on to say, I see you as light. Each of you radiates a very beautiful and unique pattern of light. When you are being in the most pure way possible for you, you allow that universal energy to flow through you and out so that you become charged with the love of the universe, with the love of God. Then the light that channels through you is enhanced by your own inner energy so that there are truly, bless you, two sources of light. You are each a spark of God. And then he goes on to say, further on down, it does not work the other way. In doing, you are not always channeling that love and light so clearly. Rather, you are using your energy, feeling that something must be done and that you in yourself are not sufficient. As you allow this energy flow, the doing becomes simply another way of being. So I thought that I would share that with you. And at the risk of... giving away my cynosure for the night, when I turn it back to you. Are you there, Wynn?
Oh yes, I'm here. I need to go back to unmute university.
Okay.
That's a standing joke because for months, every time Terry would talk, it would be silent. She didn't unmute her phone.
Well, you know, details.
Yes. But can't you feel the energy? It doesn't matter if I say anything. You know, we all get hooked to some extent on outward manifestation.
Yeah.
And when you see somebody outwardly manifesting, on one hand, you're receiving the energy level that they're coming from, because everybody manifests at a different level of, we could say, energy or space in the hologram. whether they're channeling or whether they're being human. And so when you see, and I used to go through this when I was younger, you would see somebody that had a great outward manifestation. And actually, on one hand, you're receiving their outward manifestation and being lifted. And the other part of you is comparing yourself to them and feeling worthless because look at what they're doing, and I want to do it. So then people say, God, I want to channel too. I want to channel. And actually, when you do say that, I want to channel, because you see the outward manifestation of someone else, oftentimes that would attract a negative source because it's not a pure enough intent,
right,
to want to channel because you were moved by someone else that's channeling. Now, when I learned when I was younger, I would be going through the course of having different conversations with people. And sometimes something would click in. Or when I would write songs and poems, there would be this click where suddenly I was wiser than I normally was. I was more polished than I normally was. And I said, where did that come from? And I realized, I don't know if one would say it was channeling per se, but I was accessing high levels of my own being, and things were coming through me. And that can happen in normal conversations.
Yes.
It's like,
so everybody's a channel.
Everyone's a channel. It's like if you notice, and probably everyone notices this, as you go through the course of your day, and you're talking to different people, you will, if you're being the least bit sensitive, each person you talk to, you'll talk to differently, automatically. Because you are on subconscious levels picking up the energies of that person, and there's something beyond your logical mind that's putting it together so you know how to choose vocabulary, concepts, whatever, to get across to that person. And everyone has that ability. And if you are with someone and you start tuning in to that part of you that's being as opposed to doing, you will access that. And oftentimes you have to wait and not engage in the normal pattern of engagement, because then you want to please the person, you want to entertain them, you want them to like you. So now your communication is all built around that, as opposed to finding the level of being in yourself where you actually reach the other person. And it has to do with going into neutral. And you know what? Let me turn it over to Suzanne and see if she has any thoughts or anything to contribute to the flow we're doing.
I think there's much food for thought here, especially what Carla said. And I noticed this with myself, that there's many, many types of people, and it's giving and actually being able to take with graciousness when they want to give to you. And that's very important, to be able to do that. And it was not easy for me to do this in the beginning. I didn't understand that I should be able to give all, and I could not accept that they would give. And then I realized it's just as important to allow people to give to you rather than to always expect for you to do the giving. That's very, very important. I learned, and I'm still learning. Now tonight I find out that I've got to go through a blood transfusion in the morning, and there's another new thing. But it's going to be just fine, because it's one in a matter of other things that have come up, and I've taken them one by one by one, and not shown any kind of fear or any kind of trepidation about it. I've just allowed it to go through me. Recommendation of just, this is going to be another one that's going to come out good. This is going to be the good mind of God. This will display this. And I will see this at the end. I've seen it in every other instance that has to do with Ra, with Elohim. And this is exactly what I've seen in the past. I can't remember the channel that Carla, someone could help me out here, did. If somebody could tell me the name of that channel.
Suzanne?
Say?
Just 1 second, because I can't remember if I muted everyone on the conference call.
Well, anyway.
Just 1 second.
I taught that, and I saw the graciousness
of
Carla.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Of Carla during that time. And I really learned the deep things and the subtle things, and I'm still learning them. That's my comment.
Thank you. Jerry, are you on? You're muted. Hello, Terry. We don't hear you yet.
Okay, I pressed star 6. Yes, I'm unmuted.
There you go. Okay. Now we hear you. Anything you want to comment about what we're talking about?
Well, I love what you're talking about, the ability to receive from others. It really touches me to hear about that. It's the other side of the flow, not only to give but to receive. I appreciate it.
You know what? In the highest level, it's all the law of one, because when people are giving in their pureness of nature, they're also receiving instantly back for the giving. And that's where I think the trick is, to be able to give and receive back in the moment. Because if you have a clear channel of connection with somebody, it is immediate. I remember in conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh said, or whoever was speaking to him, said that you can't do something for someone else that doesn't come right back to you. So if you're feeling a bit down and you call somebody and cheer them up, you can't help but cheer yourself up at the same time. And as you learn how to do this, I think it's how you open up to receive from the universe, because you become a little cell of universal consciousness, not just your little human self. And walking around on this planet as a universal flow, or a walking prayer. In any case, let me ask Carla the question. While you were going through all this, were you in a lot of pain? Were you suffering?
Oh, I still am. Yeah.
How do you work with pain?
Well, I think the thing about pain is that some pain is very useful. It gives you good information. Most pain is not a signal. It's just noise. So in managing pain, what you have to do is identify which of your symptoms are interesting informationally and which of your symptoms are just static on the line. I'm not saying that because you can make the pain go away. I'm saying that because it helps you to manage the pain. For instance, I'm not in a situation where I can really get into a creative space and hold it for very long because I'm on pain medication. But I have been able to find things to do because, you know, creative people, they create stuff in real time. And then, you know, they don't get back to editing it, you know, like for years at a time. So for a long time, I was working on a future project of mine, which involved formatting recipes. I want to do a series of books that's an accompaniment to somebody that has the care of a family, you know, just one for each season. You know, it has a little something for the spirit for the day. It's got a recipe or two. It's got a funny picture to make you laugh. It's got a tip on how to get blood out of linen. You know, just something to accompany you. I want to do a series of four books that are seasonal in nature, just to share with people the joy of living moment to moment. So I was formatting about 2,000 recipes that I've collected over a lifetime. I finished doing that last October or so, and so then I turned to the poetry of a lifetime, and I'm no good really as a poet. I've never tried to be a good poet, but things come to me, they just say, you know, write me down, and I rush and I go get a pen and paper or the typewriter or the computer, depending on what decade we're talking, and get it down because it's coming through. And so anyway, I have all these pieces of paper. So last October I started working on my poetry. The great thing about doing a recipe, you know, formatting a recipe or editing a poem is that you only have to hold your focus for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. And that is doable, even if you're in a lot of pain. And then you can let it go for a while and rest. And then you can get it together again and work again. And so I've found that to be a really good way to do what I can to keep up with some kind of small service to others in terms of outer work. So that is a very helpful way to look at pain. Is it signal or is it noise? And not to give yourself a single moment for pity parties, because that's an expenditure of energy. Everything we do takes energy. And when you're not well, when your body is challenged, you have less energy than usual. So heaven knows you do not want to waste an iota, a scintilla of energy. And when you're feeling sorry for yourself, well, you just lost the day, hon. You know, and there it goes. Wave it goodbye because you're not going to get it back for a while. So decades ago, I really learned that, you know, feeling sorry for yourself, having self-pity, it was useless for me. It might be helpful for other people because, you know, they've never had this happen to them before and they need to express it out loud. This is outrageous. But if it's happening to you on a daily basis for your lifetime, as it has to me, then you come to realize you need to take your shots. And so I really have done wonders with a class I took in 1992 called Pain Management. It was an in-hospital course. It lasted 3 weeks. And it really taught you to manage, identify and manage pain, and if it needed attention, you gave it all the attention that it needed. If it was simply signal, you know, if it was simply noise, static on the line, and something that was unfortunate, but there it is. Then once you've done everything you could with pain medication and eating well and doing your exercises, whatever it is that you needed to do, then you work around it. You distract yourself. Oh, you can count your blessings. I always find that to be great because, you know, I've got a great husband. I've got wonderful people all around me. Every day I get letters from all over the world. I'm such a lucky gal. And so I basically spend a lot of time counting my blessings. If I can't do anything else, I can sure just think, isn't that wonderful? That is so uplifting. And look at a thank you note somebody's written me because they've read something I've written for the first time. And golly Moses, that's just a real blessing. So you do what you can. And as you said, Wynn, and as you also said, Suzanne, you do it a day at a time. You do it a moment at a time. You focus on the now, as so many people have said. And you put yourself as consciously and completely into the moment as you can. And you relate passionately and just out there with that moment of now. And give yourself to that. And let yourself be in that moment that you can be. And love all you can and appreciate all you can and give thanks all you can. And you work around the pain that way, and the pain becomes not very interesting, and you just sort of work around it and move on. And, you know, gradually, hopefully, I will get into a place where there's much less of that, and I will be living a much more normal life and be able to do outer things again. But when that's the way I handle pain, I don't duck it. I don't deny it. I even get into it sometimes. If it's bad enough, I will go into it and I will say, these are the sufferings of the world. And if I could take the suffering of the world on myself and everybody else got to go free, I'd do that. Yeah, and I would just lay in that space and offer myself. And
can you hear me?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I'd like to address what she said. Well, I got to a place where
Suzanne,
I was seeing the magicalness.
Suzanne, let me tell you. Officially, we're off the air. It's 7:52.
Oh.
And in 3 minutes, they got a new show coming on. And if you don't mind, I want, you know, he'll let me go over maybe another minute. Why don't we just all do a healing energy prayer towards Carla and Suzanne and to ourselves, whoever needs it. And a couple of minutes of silence. And Terry, are you on the line?
Oh, yes, I am.
If I was going to do this earlier, I was going to say if there was a 30-second message, which is not fair to our sources, but let's ask their energy to be present here on this healing moment and ask that we have all the forces of the universe, the positive forces, descending upon us right now, each of us, and that each of us is a repeater station. As it comes to you, you send it out again. And for a moment, let's focus that repeating station energy on Carla and Suzanne for their healing. We'll just take a very short moment of silence. And if you need that for yourself, take it for yourself. You are worthy to be healed. You are worthy to be connected. And on that note, Carla's website is llresearch.org. She's got loads of material there that you can probably read for the rest of your life. once you get caught up in it. And
all callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.